Good morning, Disciples Church. How are we doing this morning? Happy Father's Day to all you dads out there. I foresee many, many barbecues this afternoon. Anybody barbecuing? No one's barbecuing? Really? You are? I am. Sure. You're just lying. Now you're lying to me. See? If you are, if you didn't notice the front table out here, our incredible greeters team set up a father station. If you are a dad, there is a hot sauce bottle for you to take home and use with your barbecue adventures this afternoon. Amen? You guys do a lot of barbecue with hot sauce? All right. Well, I enjoy it. I'm glad I have it. I will use it. A cereal? Nice. Well, it is kind of cool that we're in week three of our series on wisdom, the teachings of Solomon, and it is cool that it happens to, that one of them happens to fall on Father's Day, because I know growing up, not having a dad around, but having many father figures in my life that God has brought into my life, many pearls of wisdom and just nuggets of knowledge that I today still utilize. That I still remember things that they've spoken over me and into my life. Things were in areas of my life where things were in disarray, and they would just kind of come alongside and share some wisdom that I still use today. So today we get to celebrate on Father's Day our Heavenly Father, who is imparting wisdom and desires to impart wisdom to you and I all the time. Amen. So we're going to dig into that this morning. We're going to dig into wisdom and what God has to say about that. When thinking about wisdom, though, to be honest, or to be more specific, the idea of preaching on wisdom this morning, I couldn't help but pause and laugh. I had my Bible out, my computer open, ready to start writing and thinking about what God wanted to say, and I kind of just went blank for a second and thought, wisdom. I'm going to teach on wisdom. Have you ever felt that feeling where you feel unqualified to do something? I felt very unqualified to even try to prepare a message on wisdom. And because wisdom, I mean, that sounds deep. Just the word alone makes you feel like there's a lot that you don't know. And I knew going into this, there was going to be a lot that I didn't know. So I literally paused and laughed at myself for a moment and then said, God, no, really, you really got to talk to me right now. I couldn't help but to ask myself, where do I get off preaching about wisdom? I mean, I thought back to many moments in my life where I lacked wisdom. I thought back to all those moments where I lacked forethought, or really any thought at all. Any guys in here relate? Not thinking. So before I went too far down that rabbit hole of sorrow and depression of all the things I've not utilized wisdom on, the Holy Spirit kind of stopped me. He stopped me and brought me some perspective that allowed me to pursue this teaching of wisdom with a fresh pair of eyes and a heart to preach this, not from a life perfected, but from a desire to inviting wisdom into all that I do. So this morning, I want you guys to do the same thing. You and I, we're not perfect, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to answer wisdom's call in our life. Wisdom is a daily process. Getting wisdom, obtaining wisdom, learning about what God wants us to do in our lives, it takes time, it takes a life, it takes a life of inviting God into that process. You don't have to open your Bibles right now, but I just want to start in Proverbs chapter 9, and to just kind of get our thought process going on what God is calling us to do and to answer that call to wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 9, it says, wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come and eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise, and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. Folly calls for a hearing. The woman named Folly is brash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits in her doorway on the heights overlooking the city. She calls out to me, to men going by who are minding their own business. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, stolen water is refreshing. Food eat in secret tastes the best. But little do they know that the dead are here. Her guests are in the depth of the grave. So the two questions for this morning are, do we answer calls wisdom, or wisdom's call, sorry, or are we satisfied with just going through the motions of life? Do we invite wisdom into everything we do, or is it a last-ditch effort that we go to when everything else is falling around? I believe that when we intentionally seek wisdom, we bring meaning to the things that might appear meaningless. I want you to think about that. We're going to dive into that. But first, let me just pause and again say welcome, especially if this is your first time with us here at Disciples. My name is Pastor Dan, one of the pastors here on staff. And we're just so glad that you are here with us. If this is your first time with us, in the seat pocket in front of you is a welcome brochure that looks like this. We'd love for you to take that home. It's just a way for you guys to get to know us a little bit more, find out how to connect and get involved and kind of see what we're all about. Also, we want to welcome the moms that might be in the living room across the hall joining us, the Via Live feed on the TV. We're so glad that you are here with the little ones. Those that might be joining us online, thanks so much. We hope to have you here some morning, but for now, we're glad that you are joining us via the podcast there. Real quick, if you have your Bible, great. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Begin. If you don't have a Bible and you want a written one, there's one probably under your chair. If not, you have your smartphone, I would say download the YouVersion app in your app store. It's an incredible tool to have, not just for Sunday mornings, but just on the go and being able to have your phone and your Bible right there. It's amazing. I would do that. And as you're getting ready, I'd just like to pray. And we're going to dive in and see what God has for us about wisdom. Father, we are so thankful to have the best dad. You are an incredible father. You're a father who wants to see your children know you in a very intimate way. Not just on Sundays, not just when things are going in disarray, but not just through circumstances and situations, but you're calling for us to invite you into everything we do. And so we ask, God, that we would begin that process this morning, that life wouldn't just go by. Days wouldn't just go by. Things that we're involved with wouldn't just happen without first inviting you into the process. Because that is where we find that meaning. That is where we find that wisdom. Wisdom is inviting you into our lives and into our process. Father, we love you. We bless you. I pray that you bless the words that come from my mouth. Let them be of you. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Like I said, starting in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 2. It says, everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then the water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we are never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here is something new, but actually it is old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one remember what we are doing now. As you can tell, I'm aiming for a very encouraging message this morning. Right? Everything is meaningless. Everything, it says. Everything is meaningless. Throughout the first five chapters, King Solomon mentions a few things in particular that are meaningless. Wisdom is meaningless. Pleasures are meaningless. Wisdom and folly are meaningless. Toil, work is meaningless. Advancement is meaningless. Riches are meaningless. And after reading all this, I was trying to figure out if even getting out of bed today was going to be meaningless. The word meaningless shows up 35 times in this book and only one time outside of it. And in the Hebrew, the word originally meant breath, as referred by his father David in Psalms 39, when he says, you have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. And all of our rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My hope is in you. Rescue me from my rebellion. Do not let fools mock me. So again, this is sounding encouraging, I'm sure. But let me try to kind of take us out of, let me try to steer us out of this nosedive into depression at this moment and try to bring some wisdom that brings life into this, into the context of the scripture. Because there is life to be found here. There is an idea here. There's a way of living here that's being expressed by Solomon that I think if we adapt this to our lives, I believe that we're going to start to see a whole lot more life in our comings and goings and all the things that we do day in and day out that provide a little bit more life and meaning to the things that we do, which I believe is going to be wisdom. What King Solomon was trying to say, and that David alluded to in this, was that everything we do, everything that we gain, all the hustle, all the bustle, the achievements, the accolades, all of our plans, that we are foolish if we never invite God into the process. If we don't invite his insight, his wisdom, his plans, and ask these questions: what, God, is your role in this? And when I say this, I just, all-encompassing, whatever this is for you is what I'm referring to. What, God, is your role in this? What do you want to do in and through me in this? In this, how can it be used to honor you? Wisdom is asking, how, God, can I honor you best in this? When we do that, we've invited wisdom. We've opened the doors to purpose and can walk in those plans knowing that there is a meaning to those steps that we take every day. That step you take to get out of bed, that step you take to do all the normal things you do throughout your day, all the steps you take that you do over and over throughout the week at your job. But wisdom, and inviting wisdom into our life, knowing that there is a meaning in every step that we take, is what turns meaningless into meaningful. When in all we do invite the wisdom and the knowledge of God into our lives, we begin to take the focus of what we can achieve and what we can do. But instead, we begin to look for what God wants to do in every situation. Wouldn't that be different if instead of just making a decision for our life, instead of just saying yes to that or to this, that we asked God for his input? And we ask God, what do you have for me in this? In this, how am I going to be able to honor you? It really changes the scope of the things that we do and how well we do them. And let me tell you, there's a greater wisdom to be found in our lives when we do this very thing. Opportunities to see past the surface of life. We all have a surface. We all have this thing that we just unconsciously just do. We get up in the morning, we do our things at home, we do all the things that we do every day, 24/7, all year long, but wonder if we can look past the surface of the things that we do every day and invite God and invite his wisdom into those things and see if there's more to it. The wisdom that is calling to you and I this morning is a discipline of intentionally inviting him into the process of our lives. Some of my most unwise decisions took place when I didn't invite certain people into my decision-making process, namely my wife. Guys, I know it's Father's Day, but have you done this? When I made that purchase that maybe I should have asked her about first, we don't do that? Oh, that's a bad idea. Actually, it was a bad idea not. When I scheduled something on the calendar and didn't tell her until about 10 minutes before it was time to leave, bad idea. Very unwise. Very unwise to not include her in that process. Even in ministry, I found that when I dive headfirst into something and don't invite her along into the process, that that wasn't wise, and I find myself missing things in that opportunity because I didn't invite her into that process of making that decision. This is a living, breathing wisdom that I'm talking about this morning. Not just a list of do's and don'ts, but when we think of wisdom, we think of being smart, we think of the do's and the don'ts that we're supposed to have in life. But this isn't a list of do's and don'ts that somehow make us smarter. but wisdom that comes from relationship. There's a greater call for you and I than to just live by chance. Amen? And to hold on to the reins. And then as we do, there's a greater call than just holding on to the reins of life until something goes wrong. What a horrible way to go about things when we have somebody who is eagerly waiting to give us their advice, to give us their wisdom, to give us their knowledge. Earlier I read Proverbs 9 and we see the two houses that we have been invited to reside in. And in verse 6, wisdom calls out to us and says, leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. This isn't very profound, but in gathering through reading that scripture, the key that I found here is living wisdom is a life that is intentionally inviting God and his ways into it. Real life begins as we embrace wisdom's call. It says to begin to live, which means that prior to that, there wasn't life. There's not living. We're just going through life without thought of what God wants to do in the things that we call meaningless. The things that we call meaningless, the things that we do every day, God is saying, I have something to tell you. I have something that I want to do in that. It's only meaningless because you're doing it just to do it when I have something that I want to do in and through it. If that makes sense. Going back to all the things that Solomon said were meaningless, it wasn't that those things were bad, by the way. All the things that Solomon was mentioning in the first five chapters, because wisdom is good. We'd agree with that. The pleasures of life are good. Laughter, the projects that he gives, the things that we do, toil, the work is good. Advancement and good finances, those are good. But as a friend of mine once said back when I was an intern many years ago, good doesn't always mean it's God. Good doesn't always mean it's God. And what I mean by that is, he said this to me when I was a young intern and I had a big problem saying no. Does anybody else in here have a problem saying no? Okay. I had a big problem saying no. I still kind of have a problem with that today. But I kept saying yes to everything. One pastor would come and say, hey, Dan, can you do this? Yes. Hey, Dan, can you run that? Yes. Hey, Dan, can you help us over here on Friday night? Sure, I can do that too. And all the while spreading myself thinner and thinner. And all the while convincing myself that it was all okay. That the stress and the worry and the hustle and the bustle was all okay. And I convinced myself of that because it was all good things that I was doing. And again, he said, good doesn't always mean it's God. That I would not flourish in who I was called to be if I couldn't use wisdom and invite God into my process. And find the lane that I was called to be in. We're all called into our own individual lane. We have things that we are really good at, that God has gifted us in, that God has made us perfect for. And I think we find ourselves trying to travel in others' lanes. And we end up finding ourselves getting beat up, worn down. And we say it's because it's just good and we have to do it. But good doesn't always mean it's God. That if I just simply said yes to everything and didn't think twice about whether or not I was supposed to, then it wasn't going to produce life. And that's what we want to do. And the things that we say yes to, the things that we do, we want to produce life. Not just a checkbox, but life. It was just going to produce more meaningless to-dos, just a to-do list of good, but not necessarily of God. With this being a life example of mine, it goes to show you that you don't have to be the sharpest tool in the shed to get wisdom or to have wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to answer the right call for your life, to choose the right house, to embrace the process that's found in it. And what process am I referring to? It's the process that we find in Proverbs 9 that we read earlier in verse 7. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. Wisdom says to pick your battles in life. You ever heard that? Pick your battles? We invest so much of our time. We invest so much of our energy. We invest so much of our calling into the things that have no value and that provide no kingdom return. I don't know about you, but when I invest into something, I want to see a return. when I invest my calling, when I invest who God's called me to be, when I invest my energy and effort, my desire is to see a kingdom return. Again, invite wisdom into your emotion, your conversations, into what stirs you up as a person. Does your response, your reactions, your words answer this call to wisdom? How much stress and worry do we harbor because of the absence of wisdom? We didn't stop and pause to ask what God thought. And then we're wondering why we're so stressed out about doing all these other things. While we're hurrying, going 100 miles an hour, do these things that if we would have stopped and asked God for his wisdom and his advice and how we plan and structure and do the things that we do, that A, we would probably feel like the things that we thought were meaningless or actually have some meaning, and we're going to be able to devote more time to it because we're not doing the things that aren't for us. It goes on, but correct the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. To answer wisdom's call, there's probably more, but I've got three things here. To answer wisdom's call, we must love those we allow to correct us. Have people in your life that you allow to bring correction. We don't like that word correction. Even when it comes from God, we have a hard time with correction. Be open to instruction is the second thing. It is for your benefit to grow in this living wisdom. Aim for righteousness is the third thing. You will cultivate a hunger for more wisdom when your end goal is to magnify holiness. If your end goal is to magnify holiness in the things that you do, to find God's will in the things that we do day in and day out, that's what Solomon was talking about. He wasn't saying all these things were horrible. But if the end game isn't that God is included, that it is not directly related to to including God in the things that we do, then it's all meaningless. When was the last time you specifically asked for wisdom? I had to ask myself this question. Not because of a situation or circumstance, because we do that all the time. We're in the middle of something that's really hard. We're in the middle of something we can't figure out, and then we ask for the wisdom of God in that situation. But not because of those things. But in your prayers, do you find value in asking God for his advice? Asking God for his wisdom. Are you in the right house? Have you invited correction in your life? Do we value instruction? And instead of turning from the opportunity to grow, do you and I lean into it instead? I've been using this term living wisdom this morning because I do believe that it is a living, breathing thing that we get to invite into our lives. Again, it's not a checklist of do's and don'ts and how much smarter I can become, but it is a living, breathing thing that we get to invite into our life every day. And it begins in the deepening of relationship with the Father. Wisdom, simply put, is asking, Dad, what do I do? Dad, what do I do? Verse 10. I know this because the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. The best example I have for this, and I'm not sure if he's in the room, my son's in the room, but you've ever had these conversations where you're getting ready to teach your son or your daughter, and the words, the awesome words, I know, comes out of their mouth. I know. Really? Okay. Gotcha. You know. All right. You want to teach them. You want to show them. You don't want to do it for them, but you want to teach them and go through that process with them. They know they need the help. So finally, they'll break down a little bit and go, okay, Dad, okay, can you show me? Okay, show me. I'll start to show them and get them, okay, I know, I got the rest. You got that too, right? You guys all know. Even if you don't have kids, you've probably heard this, all right? But then you back away as much as you want to dive in and teach them this. Because as a dad or a mom or a parent, you want to teach them how to do it. You want to give them your wisdom. You want to give them that nugget. And so some time goes by, some frustration is growing in them, and I'm just watching it happen. And then something turns, something happens, where they now are actually desiring the advice of their dad. They desire to know and to be taught how to make it work. They go from saying, I know, to literally watching and paying attention and allowing you to be a part of that process. They learn something that if they stopped saying, I know, they would have not have wasted all that time fighting through trying to do it and knowing that dad is right there wanting to teach them. Again, not do it for them, but teach them. Wisdom is asking, Dad, what do I do? And we do that too with God, right? God, I need some help in my marriage. Well, you're going to have to change that. Oh, no, I know. Well, I'll figure that out later. I got this figured out over here. But no, God knows. And we need to start resting in the reality that God is asking us to ask him for wisdom. Wisdom is a life that is daily given back to God. We don't just give our lives back to God on Sunday morning, or worship services, conferences. Wisdom is a life that is daily given back to God. Can you imagine waking up saying, God, this life is yours. I'm getting ready to go do all the most mundane things I do and have done for years in past. But today, I want new life found in the things that I do. I want new life in the things that I do on a daily basis. The things that I have found meaningless, I want to find meaningful. And I want to invite your wisdom into this process. Teach me. Talk to me. Teach me how to make the most out of this time that I have today. As we begin to invite wisdom into our conversations, our decisions, into our marriages and relationships, into our finances, our jobs, our kids, we honor God in a way that produces purpose in everyday stuff, bringing meaning into all that we do. Asking for wisdom, we become a people of intentional living beings, not just human doings. Asking for wisdom, we become a people of intentional living beings, not just human doings. And then true to form, from a father that wants to give good gifts to his children, it's written here in verse 11, wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. It's kind of like the same thing we would teach our kids or say to our kids, right? Son, daughter, you have a choice. And I want to give you all the good things that I can give you. And I have a way to make your life fulfilled. To give you the most meaning out of the things you do. And it will add years to your life, multiply your days. When I read that, multiply your days, it just hit me right now. Actually, this isn't even in my notes, but I don't think that's just a number of multiplying your time here on earth. I think it's multiplying the value of your day. It multiplies your purpose day in and day out as you heed wisdom's call. Wisdom isn't about knowing the right answer all the time or being the smartest guy or gal in the room. Wisdom is for the person who asks dad for the most advice. Amen? Wisdom is for the person who asks dad for the most advice. Of course, I'm speaking about our Heavenly Father. If you want wisdom, be the one that knocks on your father's door every day and say, Lord, Dad, Father, I need your advice. I don't want to keep doing this my way anymore. I really don't know what I'm doing. But I know you do. And I know you're going to teach me through it. Would you guys stand with me this morning and invite the worship team to come on up? A little shorter of a morning this morning. Father's Day, have you guys go and enjoy your days with your family. This isn't going to be an altar call of such. It's more of a time for you and I to gain some perspective this morning. To do the one thing maybe we haven't done in a long time. And ask Dad for some advice. maybe that thing, this that I was referring to earlier, whatever this is for you guys that you're going through, whether it be in marriage, or finances, or job, or relationships, children, this, that, or the other, whatever this is for you, maybe it's time to say, Dad, I need your advice. Put away the I knows, and I can already do that, and say, Dad, I need your advice. What a great Father's Day present. He's the best dad in the world. Our Heavenly Father, and say, Dad, I need your advice. I know wisdom is knowing you. Wisdom is inviting you into my prophet, into my life. As we bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment, would you just take a second? Acknowledge that for yourself. If that's you this morning, it's been a while since you've said, wisdom is not just something I'm going to ask for when things aren't going my way. But that ultimate wisdom is waking up every morning and saying, Dad, what do you want to do in my life today? Wisdom is making the most out of the things we do. Wisdom is getting beyond the surface of life. As Solomon was referring to, all the things that were meaningless, and he's absolutely right. If God is not present, if we have not invited him into everything we do, that conversation that I have to have tomorrow with a friend or a coworker, I pray that you would be with me in that moment, God. Whatever this is for you, whatever you have coming up over the horizon, that you would ask for your dad to be a part of what you're going through. Father, we bless you. We love you. We honor you this day by giving our lives back to you. It's a great representation of the beginnings of wisdom. That knowing you is the fact that we know that you know way more than we'll ever know. And that you have intricate details that you are formulating even now as we speak about our day. For the rest of the day today and tomorrow and the day after. That you've got amazing things that you want us to be a part of if we would just stop. And use the better part of wisdom and say, we invite you, Father. We invite your advice. We invite your wisdom. We invite your knowledge. We invite your plans to disrupt our plans. In your precious name, we pray this morning. All God's people say, amen.